Good morning to all of you. Welcome. Thanks for the songs, Jeff. I was just talking to him this morning about it'd be nice to learn a new song sometime. He knew. He was thinking the same. So, it'd be nice to sing that a couple times maybe to get to know it. The sermon title this morning is Turning the Other Cheek, and I really struggled with that title. I just don't know that that's... It doesn't portray what I want to talk about this morning. I'm not satisfied that's the best title. It could be like Christians Non-Resistance, Loving Your Enemies, Forgiveness, that type of thing. I found this saying online, and it nearly sums up what I want to talk about. We make Christ known by the way we respond to our adversaries. But it's not just that. What if it rains on our picnic? What if something doesn't work out? We all face snags or troubles or difficulties along the way. What do we do with it? So I came up with this here. One of the most powerful testimonies we can have is how we respond to trauma, tragedy, trials, and trouble. That is what I want to talk about today. How many of you have ever heard of Pastor Pablo's book, Chosen from Among the Worst? Anybody? Have you read it? Oh, it's a good book.
Have you read it? Sorry.
Yeah, have you read it?
Oh, no.
Yeah. So Bev and I just got done reading that together. It's a good book. It talks about Omar Montenegro, who grew up in Nicaragua. And as a boy, his father was an angry man. His father deserted them, was back and forth, and was really... had a temper, and his son Omar began to be in the same way, and Omar also had to kind of be a father figure when dad was gone so much. And Omar's uncle Bato used to go to the States and come back with lots of money and throw parties, and so he helped Omar go to the States illegally. Ended up in L.A., became a drug dealer, did many bad things, partied. And he ended up committing some crimes and ran. Crossed back over ended up in Nicaragua. And sometime later ended up in Wasalala, where he continued to live this life and was an angry man. And many of you know Pastor Pablo is from Wasalala area. And so bumped into him and he became a Christian. And he was, Jonathan Miller, Pablo's son-in-law, asked him to run the dairy farm while he was gone a couple months to the States. And so, and also train one of his horses. He was a horseman. Omar loved horses. He'd been a Christian a couple months. And on his way to the farm, he stopped at a restaurant, tied his horse to a tree, and then went inside to eat. Had just sat down and he heard somebody say, "Whose horse is this?" And he back out quicker than he came in. And he asked, what's wrong with this here? Do you own this restaurant? Oh, and he was right close to him. And he could smell the alcohol on his breath. He was drunk. Omar was trying to get away from that lifestyle. And Omar's former way of life would have just punched him. And it was nothing he couldn't handle physically. But he remembered that we are to love our enemies. He wasn't feeling too much love, but he chose to back away from the situation. As he was backing away, the man drew a knife. Well, he could have easily, in one swift kick, taken care of that. But he chose to mount the horse and ride away. He was angry. He was not happy. He had not eaten breakfast. And towards the edge of town, he stopped and got a Coke. And when he got off to go buy a Coke, he was surprised how trembling he was. He was that shaken up. He was that angry. He was mad. And so he thought, boy, this isn't good. This old Omar hasn't died yet. So that afternoon in instruction class, he shared this. He confessed that he was an angry man. He still was not converted. Was dealing with the old man. And Pablo said this, "But look, you chose to do the right thing. You didn't tell us, you're not telling us now that you knocked out his teeth. And I'm not visiting you in jail. So you chose to do the right thing, and that clicked with Omar. He recognized he had made a good choice. Even though his feelings were still angry, he wasn't loving this drunk. And Pablo said, now what you need to do is pray that you can meet this man and witness to him. And so, again, back to what I want to talk about today. One of the most powerful testimonies we can have is how we respond to trauma, tragedies, trials, and trouble. Our key text is taken from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, if you want to turn to there. We'll be reading from Matthew 5, starting in verse 38, read to the end of the chapter. Matthew 5, 38. You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give him to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Jesus is teaching a more perfect way of righteous living than they knew of. The old flesh, the way they were taught is you just flesh it out. You just do what the law says, you do what it requires, but 2 Corinthians 3:6 says, The law kills, but the Spirit gives life. And so the law merely alerts us, tells us what is wrong. There is no life in the law. We are not saved by doing something. We are saved by faith alone, not of works, lest any man should boast. Yet we know that we are judged by our works. In other words, does our walk match our talk? Okay? Saved by faith alone. Jesus was talking to a people that were hungry for the truth, but they were steeped in obeying religion or religious laws and traditions. What does Jesus say we should do in this passage? An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. We are not to resist evil. I think we're not supposed to fight back. If we are in Kroger and we hear some shots fired and yelling at the front of the store and we see an exit out the back, I think that's our out. I don't think we have to approach this angry man. But we aren't to fight back. And then in 39, if someone slaps us, we are to turn the other cheek. We are not to fight back. If someone sues us, don't hire a lawyer and fight it. Just pay them off. Maybe even give them more than they ask for. When compelled to go a mile, we offer to go two. Back in that day, soldiers could require of somebody, and just walking along, if a soldier wanted to ask him to carry his gear, he was required to carry it. And then to offer go 2 miles, Jesus was saying. Or don't grumble and complain. Jesus is saying we should do more than is required. When someone asks for something, we should share it with them. Share what you have. Share what God has given you. If they ask to borrow something, Don't refuse, even if you don't know that you'll get it back. This was Jesus' new and perfect way of living, not as the law said. Don't hate those who oppose you, but love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Can you imagine? Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. So we see in this first column that it is the letter of the law. It is what they knew. It is fleshing out my faith. It is doing what I know I can do, or merely meeting the minimum. It is who we are born with. It is what they knew. It was a religion. This second column is Christ in me, a new man. The old has passed away. I'm transformed. I do more than what is required of me. It's a different type of person. One of the most powerful testimonies we can have is how we respond to trauma, tragedy, trials, and trouble. The first column is fleshing it out. It is works. It is my efforts. It is me. The second column is Christ in me. It is a fruit that comes forth. It is just something that flows out from Jesus in me. It is doing more than what is expected. Jesus said in Matthew 7 that a tree is known by its fruit. What fruit are you producing? Another incident in that book, Chosen from Among the Worst. Omar had trained two horses for Pastor Pablo. One morning he said, I think they're ready for you to ride. And Pastor Pablo said, not a better time but this morning, let's go. And his family followed him to the barn where they saddled up the horse. Now, Pastor Pablo was a bit heavier than Omar and not as agile. And so he put one foot into the stirrup, and as he swung himself onto the saddle, the horse started moving forward, and it was downhill. Pastor Pablo lost his footing. He was trying to resituate. The horse did not like that. This was a new man on his back, heavier, and somebody squirming. And he bucked him off. He flew out the front and hit the ground rolling. Immediately, Omar's like, Pastor Pablo, are you okay? And ran to him. He was afraid. Well, Pablo popped up and was laughing. And then when his family saw that he was laughing and was okay, they were laughing too. But Omar didn't know how to take this. This is not the response he expected. This is not who he knew. This is not how people react. And so he was afraid for a long time. And how do we respond to those situations? I think there is a slight difference, though, in how Pablo and his family responded versus Omar's response to the drunk. Omar was angry. In his heart, he was angry. He was trembling. But he chose to do the right thing. We also can choose to do the right thing, even if we feel differently. But I think in Pastor Pablo's case, his heart was settled. There was no anger in it. Like, he was peaceful about it, and he just laughed it off. You think he was hurting? Probably. He was sore. And so that there is a difference there. We aren't born with that type of a response. We are born with an attitude of revenge and retaliation. That's who we are born, how we are born. But a transformed heart with correct daily choices like Omar made nurtures a life that produces fruit like Pastor Pablo demonstrated. Again, one of the most powerful testimonies we can have to a watching world is how we respond to difficulties. What do they see in us? What difficulties have you faced this past week, and how did you handle it? I'd like to read Omar's thoughts as he walked away from after the horse bucked off Pastor Pablo and how his family responded. As Omar walked back home, he felt amazed that even after Pastor Pablo's tumble, this family still loved him. Even though they knew who Omar was and the crimes he had done, they still trusted him. They treated him as a brother in the church and a friend. The world is watching us. How do we respond? If we are no different and we at work than the others, they see no advantage of being a Christian if we also get upset. I'd like to go into more detail of why turning the other cheek and returning good for evil has such a great impact. You see, we're all born with that selfish nature, as I talked about. And it's called various things in the Bible, such as a carnality or our old man. And this is how the believer operates. They know no different. And yet, I believe in every person, every created being, God has placed in us a desire for relationship, for love, for belonging, for peace and acceptance, affirmation, to name a few. And when Christ in us produces a fruit that is different than our carnal nature, it speaks to that, to those God-given desires and emotions, and it touches their soul. Omar's rough life before he became a believer had never seen a reaction like Pablo and his family when he got bucked off the horse. When we don't act in the same fleshly way, as it speaks to those around us. Man's ultimate need is to be reconciled with God, and how we respond is an opportunity for God to touch their soul. It has nothing to do with who I am, but has everything to do with who I am in Christ. Galatians 2:20. Sorry to bore you with my favorite verse here. But I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ in me. He is the one that empowers me. He is the one that gives me words. He has transformed me. Ephesians 4:22-24. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Romans 12:2 says much the same, where we are not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We need a transformation to take place. We need Christ to empower us. We need to make better decisions on difficult times, whatever happens to us. 2 Corinthians 5:17-21. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he that made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. If we're in Christ, we're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Therefore, we are ministers of reconciliation and ambassadors for Christ. Part of being an ambassador for Christ is to respond how Jesus taught in Matthew 5. To turn the other cheek, love our enemy, pray for those who oppose us, and do good to the undeserving. If you still have your Bibles to Matthew 5, the last verse in the chapter there, Matthew 5:48. Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. After he said what he did there, if we respond in that way, then we are perfect. My version of that verse is that if we respond appropriately to difficult things, as Jesus was explaining in the preceding verses, and as Pastor Pablo and his family responded when he got bucked off the horse, then that produces a perfect or mature Christian fruit that God can use in his kingdom. When we become ambassadors for Christ in this way, then we will also be ministers of reconciliation. And it wasn't our doing. It was Christ in us producing that fruit. I'd like to quote yet when Omar met up with this man later. One morning as Omar walked briskly down the street in Waslala, he recognized the man coming down this, recognized a man coming down the other side of the street. So he crossed the street to meet him, whispering to himself, "Here comes the answer to my prayer." Omar stood there on the street, smiling with his hand outstretched. "Hello, my friend. How are you doing?" The man looked startled, but he was forced to stop. He shook Omar's hand and stuttered, I'm doing okay. Omar kept the man's hand in his grip. "Do you remember me?" The poor man's lips trembled slightly. "Yes, I sure do." It was the man who had raged in a drunken fit at Omar when he tied his horse at Evelio Salinas' restaurant. But today he was sober and scared. "Well, I just want you to know that I forgive you for the way you treated me that day you were drunk. I used to be a very violent man, but I've been converted. I'm a Christian now, and I'm learning to love people instead of getting angry at them." The man was relaxing, but the fact that Omar didn't turn his hand loose unnerved him. He just nodded numbly. "You see, I've given my life to the Lord Jesus, and that's what I want to recommend for you. Seek God. He can forgive your sins and help you become a man who is free and useful here on this earth. He can help you stop drinking. He can give you peace and joy." The man was still speechless. "I've been praying for this opportunity to witness to you." Omar finally turned his new friend loose, and as he headed on down the street, he smiled. What a pleasure it was to be able to witness to people instead of beating them up. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for Jesus coming to not only die on the cross for our sins and that we can have faith and be saved, but to teach us a better way and to teach us a more perfect way of how we are to love our enemies, how we are to turn the other cheek, how we respond when the weather isn't as planned or when we are running late. God, help us to respond in a proper way and to be a witness that you can use out of that you're living in us would transform us into something the world doesn't understand. And we can tell them, it's Jesus in me. Oh, Father, help us this week to make right choices and to not get angry soon. God, I pray that you would fill each of us with your love to share with a lost and dying world through responding in the right way. We thank you for your word teaching us here today. I pray you'd continue to be with this service. In Jesus' name, amen.